We're talking about button collections and button collectors here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us. Did your mother or grandmother have a button jar or a button box? My mom's was in a large mason jar filled to the brim with buttons of all sizes and types. And so I'd spread them out on my bed and look at each one more closely. And I'd always wonder where that button came from. What's its story? Button collecting was recognized as an organized hobby through the founding of the National Button Society about 80 years ago, and Wisconsin Society is nearly that old. What questions do you have about collecting buttons? Have you ever been to a button show? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Shireen Martin is a longtime member of the Wisconsin State Button Society, which is holding a free public event in Madison, opens today, runs into the weekend. Shireen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
So you've been collecting buttons since the 90s. How did you get started? How did you get interested?
Well, I got interested the way you just said. My mother and my mother-in-law gave me their button. They had button tins. Mm-hmm. But this was in the 90s, probably the mid-90s, and I just got interested in them. And then I found out that there was a Madison Button Club, which is very active, and a Wisconsin State Button Society. And I thought about it for about a year, but then I joined, and I'm very happy. So I've really been collecting since about the late 90s.
So what kind of buttons were in your mother's and your mother-in-law's jars?
Well, in retrospect, they were very common buttons, but you never know. I mean, find your family's grandmother's, aunt's, mother's button jars. I've known so many families that have just thrown them away, and they have uses. But they were interesting, but they were fairly common. But once you go to a button show and see the range of buttons that are there, it really opens up your eyes.
What are some of your favorites?
Well, my favorite is one of my favorites for a material is Bakelite, which is one of the early plastics that was developed, and it was used a lot during the war because it was so sturdy.
And World War One.
World War II.
World War II. Yeah. I just want to make sure what time frame
and
we're in.
So
here.
Okay. There are a lot of Bakelite buttons, and there are other Bakelite radios. So that's one of my favorites. And then,
what color are these buttons?
They can be any color, normally except blue. They come in a wide range of colors, and I have a huge collection of them. But then there's a lot of glass buttons. I have I brought along some black glass that are in the top of them are molded to look like thread or fabric, and that's a whole. But then you can also collect by subject matter. I have snakes, roosters, cats. Anything you want to.
You have the Zodiac.
Yes, and I have Zodiac buttons. Right, I have a Russian papier-mâché set from the Zodiac.
So do the buttons you collect have pins on the back?
They have what are called shanks, and those are, it's a little, not all of them, some of them have a shank, a metal thing that you sew through. Or you can have a sew through button, which is one we're familiar with little holes in it, like your shirt buttons.
Yep, that we see
that
today.
You sew through. And then the older ones, the really old ones, have what's called a pad back, which is just a bunch of fabric. And these were made in a lot of them a cottage industry, and those were sewn through the pad on the back. And those were very old buttons.
Where do you find new buttons for your collection? Where do you go?
Well, we go to button shows like the one that's going to be held today, tomorrow, and Saturday. We have button vendors that come. When you go to the button show, you go in and there's vendors that have tables, and all of the buttons will be mounted on cards that are about 9.5 by 11, and most of them are. If you tell the vendor you're looking for black glass, you're looking for roosters, you're looking for cats, they can show you them. And it's interesting to not even buy anything, but just to go and look and see the range. And they're not. I mean, obviously, you can spend a lot of money if you want to, for like French Revolution buttons, but a lot of them are not expensive at all. I have a large collection of black and cream plastic buttons that look very nice together. And they, these buttons are not expensive, but they look very nice together.
We're talking with Shireen Martin. It's our guide to button collecting, longtime member of the Wisconsin State Button Society. What questions do you have about collecting buttons? What do you want to know about the Wisconsin State Button Society? And how would you judge a button collection? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Shireen, when I look at your shirt, your buttons are so ordinary today.
That's right.
Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary.
No.
Some white buttons. And I'm wondering, do you look at clothing differently? I mean, the first thing that must pop out at you is the buttons, right?
Well, yes. And most of the interesting buttons, or a lot of them, are on designer clothes. And so, you know, if you're looking at designer clothes, they do use a lot of, and buttons are still being made today. At the National Button Society, there's a gentleman from Italy that comes over with Italian designer buttons. And a lot of the previous designers used buttons. So mostly the clothing, especially now that I'm retired, look for are pretty ordinary. And also people, you know, if you have a very expensive button, you have to be careful washing it and cleaning if you're going to use it on clothing. Although some of them are made to be used by knitters and quilters. But so ordinary clothing, though, doesn't have real interesting buttons, but they're out there if you want to go toward designer clothing. And then there are some, like your jeans, some of the clothing, they have a manufacturer's name on them. And there are people that collect just manufacturers' names on metal buttons, things like that.
You mentioned the French Revolution earlier. Mm-hmm. What do we know about historical buttons and what stories they tell?
Well, a lot of buttons were say, the French, early in the 18th century, 17th century, men's clothes had a lot of buttons on them, and a lot of them were not used to close the clothing. They were used as decorations along the side, and if you look at pictures, they're made out of gold, silver, gems. The Victorian Albert Museum in England has a wonderful collection of buttons, and also in the 18th century, early part of the late part of the last century, women's clothes showed off the woman's waist, and they would have tiny buttons all the way down that would emphasize the woman's figure.
Yeah.
And buttons were used also a lot on shoes, and even children's shoes. So you had to, they're real small, you had to have a button hook, like a crochet hook, to close them. And I can't imagine getting a child dressed in the morning with shoes that have a lot of buttons on them. But normally, if you were at that class, you had a lot of servants to help you.
Oh, we've come a long way with Velcro,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Let's go to the phones now with Mona joining us from Madison. Hi, Mona.
Hi, thanks. I'm not really a button collector. My grandma had a button box, which I still have, but like she said, it's just ordinary buttons, like the extra ones you get on clothes and, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Sure.
But it's an interesting fun to look at, so I kept it. But I was wondering if your guest has ever been to the Werther Gallery in Ohio. Werther was a carver and a knife maker, but his wife has a little cottage out back of his museum that's full of her button collections. And what she's done is she's made incredible artwork, big, big, big artwork, and hung them on the walls. And it's just amazing to look at, not just the collection, but then her artistry with arranging them.
Mm, so there's art out of the buttons.
Oh, yes,
as well.
Especially. And this is a good use for the everyday common ones that are white, or you can get them in colors, but they're not real collectibles, but they put together, they can make beautiful art. You're right. I haven't been there, but several members of the Madison Button Club have been.
So you joined the Wisconsin State Button Society in 1999.
Right, and the Madison Button Club also.
And the Madison Button Club. What does membership involve? Are there regular meetings? What's the camaraderie like?
Oh, it's wonderful. Madison has a wonderful button club. We meet every month, and we have an educational program every month. So people bring, there's one speaker who's taken control, and people bring whatever they have in that line. It can be rooster buttons. It can be a certain type of material. And then we do have a lot of fun, and we talk about the shows that are coming up. When people travel, if they find buttons, my husband and I were just in France for our 50th wedding anniversary, and it just happened. There was an international button show while we were there. I told my husband, this is a sign. It was meant to be.
No idea.
No. And it
my goodness.
It was advertised in the National Button Bulletin. So I went to a French button show, which was much smaller than the ones in the United States, but was very interesting.
What kind of buttons did they have there in France?
They have a lot of metal buttons. One thing, they did not have a lot of Bakelite or plastics. And that tends to be true of Europe. They have, because of their history, they have a lot of metal buttons. And in the United States, we used plastics more, and they're around.
Yeah, we got really into plastics.
They were helpful, and they're inexpensive, a lot of them. And they're very colorful, and they're easy to collect.
Have you snipped off buttons from old clothes that you no longer wear? We're exploring button collections with a longtime member of the Wisconsin State Button Society. Shireen Martin is here. How did you start collecting buttons? Did you attend a trade show or inherit a jar of buttons from your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother? What's that story? Where do you keep it? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're learning about the preservation of clothing buttons here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Button Society now has more than 3,000 members on 4 continents. Its national convention is set for the first full week of August in Portland, Oregon. Maybe you're going to it. And the Wisconsin State Button Society is holding its show this weekend. Starts today in Madison, free, open to the public. Have you ever been to a button show? What kind of buttons do you remember seeing? And how would you judge a great button collection? What would you prioritize? Is it the diversity of pieces or the types of materials? Join in at 800-642-1234. Shireen Martin stays with us, and she is a longtime member of the Wisconsin State Button Society. Let's go to the phones now with Carol joining us from Menominee Falls. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm fascinated by your guest. I didn't even know there was a button show. I grew up on a farm in Iowa, a large family, and my mom had several mason jars, all sorts of jars filled with buttons, and we would collect buttons by clothes that we would just cut off the buttons so we outgrew our clothes. And then up from the clothes, we would cut them up and make quilts. But all the buttons, I remember playing with these buttons, me and my sisters, of sorting them by color, by shape, by the number of holes in them, making columns, making piles, and then trading buttons, just like making games with the buttons. And then with my kids, I have 3 children, so when they were growing up, I did the same thing with them, that they played with buttons when they were, appropriate age. So they wouldn't put them in their mouth. And they just automatically did the same whole sorting and arranging and making piles in different shapes. And then I still have all these buttons. And when I have 3 grandchildren right now, and when they get older, I plan to do the same thing. Like, let's play with buttons.
I love the tradition there.
That's great.
And
it gets people interested. Like you say, you should probably be over 3 years old so you don't pop them in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and it teaches children about size, about shape, about color.
And how to sort.
And yes, and then you keep the buttons so they have a family history. That's great.
And it sounds like passing it down from one generation to the next. You're making a point of that, Carol.
Yeah, you know, it has such good, it makes you feel so good. It's so weird. But even how they feel, buttons all feel different.
Because they do.
Of their shape. So, anyway, that's my story. And it just makes me happy hearing about all this.
Thanks.
The only one.
Well,
secret. Now my secret is out.
Yeah, there you go. Well, let's bring in Robert now from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
So what do you know about buttons?
Well, the Mississippi River here has a huge, huge history of clamming here on the Mississippi River. And a guy by the name of Beppels, Mr. Beppels Button, in the 1890s was producing buttons out of horn, bone, and wood in Germany. He was sent shells from the Mississippi River, and he turned those into buttons. He knew that he had just manufactured the most beautiful button that had ever been made. He would sell his factory in Germany, and he moved to Muscatine, Iowa. He started to manufacture buttons that caught on up and down the Mississippi River. All the towns in Wisconsin had a presence in the button industry. Muscatine, producing 1.2 billion buttons a year.
Wow.
Turn of the century. This history of the Mississippi River is being lost. Clamming is now gone. The zebra mussel came here. Clamming is all gone. Mm-hmm. The pearl buttons are still out there, very collectible, and I feel the finest button on planet Earth. You know, if you'd like to see them and hear about its history, I run a tour boat in Marquette, Iowa, crossing Prairie du Chien, and I do these tours every day, one of the last working tour boats on the Mississippi River, and I talk of the history of clamming, the button industry, and it's a history that's unbelievable.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for bringing that history to us, and what a history our connection here to buttons.
Definitely. It was an enormous industry along the Mississippi. I'm glad you called, Robert, because there's a museum in Muscatine, Iowa that talks about the clamming industry. It was incredible. And a lot of the buttons that were produced were of the ordinary type because they could punch them out of the shells. But there also are beautiful carved pearl buttons and different types. So, yes, it was a huge industry for Wisconsin and for other states along the Mississippi with the clams.
So the show this weekend, there is a judging component. There are some small cash prizes. How do you judge what makes a great collection?
It depends on people enter what are called awards, which are written by clubs or individual people. For example, one for next year is 20 buttons specialized to rabbits or turtles and tortoises. And so then you would, if you have a subject like this, first of all, the judges would look for you don't have more than 20 buttons on your card, that you have a representation of rabbits and turtles. Mm-hmm. And then also, what are the materials? When you have a subject matter like that, they want to look at as many materials as possible and as many different sizes as possible within that category. And then Also, what kind of decorations do they have on the buttons? Can it be paste, jewels, or a different thing? So those are some of the things that they look for. But then others are just on one material. And then they would look for as many different sizes and decorations on that one material.
Looking for the uniquenesses.
Yes, right.
I shouldn't be asking this question, but how many buttons do you have
well,
in your collection?
My husband and son think too many, but actually my collection is fairly small compared to some other members of my club, but I probably have 2,000, let's say, something like that. But buttons are small, although once you get them framed and up on the wall, they can take up a lot of room. My husband's here, and he's laughing in the background, and I have a son, too. And
how do you display your buttons?
There's actually a whole industry behind showing buttons. And so there are cards that are a specific size, specialized to 9.5 by 11. And then there are shadow box frames you could buy. And you put these cards in them, the back pulls off. You can change regular frames, put molding on them so they're the buttons are away from the glass, and you only want to mount them with something like telephone wire so it doesn't rust. Don't use pipe cleaners or a type of wire that would rust on the back of them to mount them.
Good to know. Yeah. So can people at the show bring their own buttons to try to learn about their history at all?
They can. Yes, people can bring their buttons, and we'll people at the registration desk, when you come in, you'll be greeted, and we like to have people sign in so that we know how many people we have every day. And then we'll send you to one of the vendors, and depending on how much time they have, they can, but they can definitely give you an overview of your buttons. And then if you want to, Madison has several button vendors. If they want to spend more time with you, they can arrange that outside of the button show.
How do you keep your society growing and young? Because you're retired, and I'm sure there are a number of retirees who are in the society.
Oh, yeah.
How do you keep this interest going?
Well, and that's a problem for coin collectors, stamp collectors, button collectors, all of that. And we do have some younger members in the Madison Club, but you're right. We also have one of our members just died recently, and she was 100 years old. So it is an issue not only for buttons, but for other things. And one of the ways is to get kids interested early. We do have a junior category in the National Button Society where juniors can join, and they have games, and they get little prizes for different kinds of competitions. But it's just getting kids to see buttons, because most people do not go to a button show. Mm-hmm. And there are kids that are very interested in buttons. And, you know, they may not collect now, but at least they know what it is and it's in their blood. And then after they're done with soccer and college and everything, they come back to it.
Soccer and college. Well, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Shireen Martin is a longtime member of the Wisconsin State Button Society. We have a link, by the way, to the Wisconsin State Button Society events that get underway today at WPR.org on the morning show page. Just ahead, we discuss the first debate of the Democratic presidential candidates. Stay with us. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network.